So our reading this afternoon is from Proverbs chapter 16. As you're aware, we'll be jumping around a number of other passages as well. But we do have a few proverbs on the subject of planning together in Proverbs 16, verses 1 to 9. So let's read that together now, and the words will also be up on the screen. Proverbs 16 from verse 1. It says, "To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Amen. Friends, one thing that we all most certainly have in common is that we all make plans. We all spend time thinking about the future, about what we want to do and what we hope to accomplish. We all spend time setting goals and figuring out how we're going to achieve them. I'm sure that some of us already have plans for what we're going to have for dinner after church tonight. Or we may have plans for the week ahead, about work to be done, people we need to see, things that we need to buy, problems we need to solve. Or we may have plans for Christmas, or for summer holidays, or for what we'll be doing in 2022. But on top of the regular plans of everyday life, there are also decisions that we need to make that are far more significant. We plan, for example, our education. Will I finish after high school? Or will I go to TAFE or to university? And what course will I do? We plot out our work and our careers. Am I going to be a teacher or a tradie, a shop assistant or a doctor? Or will I start my own business? We also think about relationships. Who will I choose for my friendship group? Will I get married? And if I do, then who to? There are plans about where we will live. Will we stay local or move elsewhere? Will I rent or will I buy or will I build? Will I have children and how many? And what will be my interests and my hobbies? What will I spend my time on? What will I devote my life to? And eventually, we have to make plans about health issues as the years go on, and about downsizing and retirement and eventually nursing homes and funerals. But as Christians, there's also a whole other level to this concept of planning, isn't there? For we also have to plan how we will serve the Lord, what ministries we'll get involved in, how we'll use the gifts that he has given us. Will I start up a new growth group? Will I volunteer for Teen Challenge? Will I go off and become an overseas missionary? And together, we need to make plans for the church as a whole. What will happen at Riverbank next year? What things will change? What things will stay the same? How will we strategically approach our God-given mission in this world? So clearly, planning is common to all. It's a vital activity affecting every part of our lives. But tonight we're going to be considering what the Lord tells us about this matter. And so, as we continue our series from Proverbs, we consider how the Lord helps us to plan wisely. And what we will find is that he does not tell us what our plan should be, but rather he gives us principles to use as we make plans for ourselves. And so tonight we're going to consider 8 principles of wise planning. And the first is that wise planning involves great patience. And we see this in Proverbs 21 verse 5. For there it says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." This reminds us that those who act hastily, those who are impulsive and don't stop to think things through, well, they often find themselves in poverty, with regrets, with all kinds of trouble. Some people think it's cool or impressive or just convenient to make rash decisions without considering the options or the implications. And sometimes we all know it can be fun to do something on the spur of the moment. But do that with important decisions in your life and it will often lead to problems. That's when you find yourself engaged to the wrong person, or living in the wrong place, or stuck in the wrong job, or owning the wrong car. And it doesn't just affect yourself, but it affects those who you love. But we're also reminded that those who are patient, those who weigh the pros and cons, doing their research, taking their time, they will often find themselves with a positive outcome, with blessings and with profit. For if we do the hard work of planning diligently, then we maximize the possibility of things going well. And so if you want to be wise, then resist the temptation to be impulsive and learn to plan with patience. But my friends, we also need to learn that wise planning is totally realistic. Think of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 8 that Reuben mentioned a couple of weeks ago. "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." These verses speak of the wisdom of working hard, but also the wisdom of being sensible. It wouldn't matter how long the ant planned for, if in the end its plan was to store provisions in winter and to gather food when there is none. Or think of Proverbs 24 verse 27. "Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house." In his devotion, The Way of Wisdom, Tim Keller says, "This verse warns that you must evaluate how much income you will make before you know how big a house to build. It is the height of foolishness to fix our hearts on a particular lifestyle and try to live it when we don't have the ability to support ourselves." But yet how many people fall into the trap of wanting the big house or the fancy car or the exotic holiday, and then they find themselves crushed under the weight of debt and looming bankruptcy? Friends, if we want to plan wisely, then we need to think things through rationally, considering all the facts and all the consequences. And if you discover that you cannot afford the wedding of your dreams, well, then don't keep planning it anyway. And if you don't discover that you don't have the gifts for the ministry that you thought of embarking on, then don't press on regardless. Wise planning is realistic. Our next point is that wise planning seeks much advice. Our third principle. And this actually pops up in the Proverbs quite often. In chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but wise men listen to advice." In 20 verse 18 it says, "Plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance." You know, my friends, no one makes a bad plan on purpose, but bad plans are made in ignorance. And so the advice of others is essential. and lots of it. Chapter 11, verse 14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." And 15, verse 22, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Or 24, verse 6, "Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors." Obviously, in Solomon's day, one of the key things that required planning was war, for the consequences of a bad plan there would obviously be diabolical. But the very same principle applies to us. If you've got a big decision to make for the future, then don't try to make it on your own, because there's just too much that you don't know or see or understand. Talk to the experts. Talk to a range of experts. Read books. Search the internet. Do your research and gather your facts. Talk to your spouse and to your family and your friends. Consider how your plans affect them. And seek the advice of those who are more experienced and more educated and more godly. Seek the advice of the wise. This is part of the reason why planning requires patience, because getting advice takes time. But it also helps our planning to be realistic. For others see things that we don't see. They cover our blind spots and they help us to make rational decisions. Friends, let's not be the stubborn mule who knows it all. Let us seek advice and listen to it. Now, our next principle is found in Proverbs 27, verse 1. For there it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." This tells us that wise planning is done with humility. I'm sure we've all met the person who does boast about tomorrow. They're the ones who are always banging on about what they're going to do, how much money they're going to make, how far they're going to travel, the people they're going to impact, how they're going to be a great success. And maybe we've been that person as well. But those who brag about tomorrow are not just annoying, but they are incredibly foolish, because they do not know what the future will bring. The market could drop, bushfires could hit, there could be another world war, your business could go bankrupt, your wife could leave you, you could get that dreaded diagnosis from the doctor. And what then will become of all your boasting? We find similar sentiments in James chapter 4, where James writes, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." That puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? We think we're so powerful, masters of our own destiny, but we're not. I mean, who would have thought a couple of years ago that the whole world would be locked down because of a simple virus? But COVID reminds us just how tenuous life is. So let's make our plans, but let's do so with humility. So that concludes our first four principles. But we need to realise that this is a bit of a turning point. You see, these first four that we have up on the screen there have been important and they've been biblical. But they could just as easily be applied to the non-Christian as to the Christian. If you told an unbeliever that wise planning involves great patience and is realistic and seeks good advice and is done with humility, well, then they'd probably agree. And they could benefit from those principles. But the next four are a bit different. For these next four only make sense to people who know the Lord. And so in them we find the particular blessings that are available to God's people. So principle number five is that wise planning pursues the Lord's guidance. Proverbs 16 verse 3, which we read earlier, says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. This verse reminds us of the foolishness of planning without God in the picture. But sometimes that's exactly what we do, isn't it? We work out the details of a holiday or a career change or a retirement plan, but yet we never talk to God about it or considered His will or applied any biblical guidelines or consulted any godly friends. This idea of committing what we do to the Lord obviously involves prayer, but there's more to it than that. Committing what we do to the Lord means submitting our entire decision-making process to Him. And so it's not about coming up with a plan that suits us and then asking God to bless us and presuming that He will. Rather, it's about wrestling with every element of that plan and asking God to help you to make the right decisions with the right priorities, seeking the right outcome. It's about making our plans subject to His guidance. Guidance that comes from His Word and is illuminated by His Spirit. And then trusting that in submission to that, He will lead our thinking to the best conclusion. But that leads straight to our next principle, which is that wise planning is in line with God's commands. And so on the negative side of this, Proverbs 6 verse 18 says, "The Lord hates a heart that devises wicked schemes." And in 12 verse 20, "Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil." On the other side of the coin, chapter 12 verse 5 says, "The plans of the righteous are just." Or if we put the two together, Proverbs 14 verse 22 says, "Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness." If we want our plans to be wise, then we may need to make sure that they are in line with what God says is right and just and pure, in line with His law and His commands. But what does that really look like in real life? Well, let's say that you're planning your future career. Obviously, a believer will not aim to become a Muslim imam or a hitman or a prostitute or a drug dealer. But what about the more subtle cases? Can you work in a scientific field if it involves manipulating human embryos? Can you work in an industry that profits from the poor and the vulnerable? Can you work in any job that keeps you away from church and away from God's people? What if you're planning to marry? Will you actually listen to God's word about being yoked to an unbeliever? Will you consider the impact it will have on your ability to serve the Lord? Or what if you're planning to build a house? Will you actually take into account God's call to serve Him with your time and your money? Will you consider His commands about idolatry and riches and contentment? Or what if you're planning your retirement? How will God's word affect your financial considerations? And will you be using that gift of extra time to serve the Lord or only yourself? As we consider this, think of Proverbs 16 verse 2. It says, "All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord." And how true that is. We always think our own choices and our own actions are the right ones. Why do you think it's so difficult to correct someone, no matter how blatantly wrong they might be? But while we're very quick to justify ourselves, the Lord, it says, knows our motives. And so He knows when our plans are out of line with His word, even when no one else does. My friends, every plan has moral and ethical and sinful implications. And so even though we don't see ourselves as those who are devising evil schemes, the possibility is always there. Let us strive to make sure our plans are in line with God's commands. But now, the seventh principle is that wise planning remembers God's sovereignty. What does that mean? Well, listen to Proverbs 16, verse 1. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. And in 16, verse 9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Chapter 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And then 19, verse 21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. These proverbs remind us that it's fine to make plans, but always remember that at the end of the day, we are not the ones who are in control. The Lord is. In his commentary, Tremper Longman says, the most salient feature of wise planning is awareness that one's plans are ultimately at the service of God's superseding purpose. Thus, humans cannot be absolutely certain that they know the way of the future will pan out. In spite of their planning, they must be ready to implement changes if God so wills. But not only should we be prepared for the Lord to modify our plans, but we need to trust that he will do so for our good. And sometimes that can be incredibly hard. We find it difficult to understand how tragedy or accident or illness or breakdown can be better than the things that we had already planned. We find it incredibly difficult to know how the death of a loved one can possibly be for our good. But yet we need to trust, because our God is so much wiser than us, and his sovereign purposes will prevail. But that brings us to our eighth and final principle, which is that wise planning focuses on the Lord's priorities. And which verse do we go to for this? Well, it's the verse that the entire book rests upon, Proverbs 1 verse 7, which tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You see, my friends, the biggest problem with the way we make plans is that far too often they are based wholly and solely upon ourselves. We think about what we want to have and what we want to do, what we'd like to achieve and what we'd like to experience. We focus on our own happiness and our own leisure and our own well-being and our own satisfaction. My friends, we can plan as though God is not even there. But how foolish. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we fear him, when we take him seriously, when we stand in awe of him, then we remember that without him we are nothing. Without him we'd still be in our sin and destined for destruction. But he is the one who lifted us out of our misery and who lavishes us with love and restores our relationship with himself. He is the one who fills our hearts with joy and peace, giving strength for today and hope for tomorrow. And all through the immeasurably valuable gift of his own Son. For in Jesus Christ and in him alone, we have found forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. But friends, if we truly know what the Lord has done, then that will transform every single part of our lives, including our planning. Listen to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Don't you see? If we fear the Lord and understand His mercy, then we will know that our lives are not our own, and we will be compelled to live for Him, and that will radically affect the way we make our plans. I'm not going to try to explain what that looks like. I'm not even going to give examples. But instead, I'd simply invite you to think about your plans. Your plans for the coming week, for the coming year, for the rest of your days. I'd invite you to think about what you have your heart set on, what you dream about doing, and what you have devoted your life to. And now I want to invite you to consider how that would change if you truly fear the Lord, if you truly grasp His amazing love and grace, if you truly desire to offer your body to Him as a living sacrifice. The Lord says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Will you allow your thinking and your prioritizing and your planning to be transformed tonight? My friends, the Lord wants us to make plans. Of that there is no doubt. But He also wants us to do so wisely. Wise planning involves great patience, and it's totally realistic. It seeks much advice, and it's done with humility. But more than that, wise planning pursues the Lord's guidance and is in line with His commands. It remembers God's sovereignty and it focuses on His priorities. 8 principles from the book of Proverbs. 8 principles from the Lord our God. But they'll do us no good if we don't apply them. So let's think about these things as we make plans for ourselves, for our church, for every situation in life. My friends, let us genuinely seek to make plans in a way that gives glory to our God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You tonight for the book of Proverbs and for the way it addresses matters that we don't often see in other parts of Your word. Father, we thank You for the way that it helps us and informs us, but also for the way that it convicts us and challenges us. And Father, we pray that we might not only be helped, but that we might be challenged when it comes to the whole matter of planning. For Father, we confess before You tonight that so much of our planning is all about ourselves and what we want and desire, and what will give us pleasure. Lord, please help us to think about what it means to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to You. Lord, help us to know how You want us to plan, what You want us to prioritize, what You think should be first in our lives. And Lord, as we think about that, we pray that it would genuinely affect the way we go forward from here. As we think about our futures, our education, our work, our families, our relationships, our retirement, Lord, we pray that You would mould us and change us, that You would use us for Your glory. For Father, that is what we want most of all. Not to us be glory given, but to You and You alone. Father, please work in our lives, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.